Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Again, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Then skipping to verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 1 through 4, then verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate and hear your word every day. And thank you for the many ways that your word blesses us as we read it, as we listen to its counsel, as we follow it, and as we walk in obedience to it. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to filling our hearts and our minds with your word each and every day. And empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word as well. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and let me remind you once again, if you don't have the habit of reading God's word every day, as we look forward to beginning 2017, I certainly hope that you'll start that very, very important habit. In all of life, one of the most fruitful and empowering habits is that of reading God's word every single day. I like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters a day. God's word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. In fact, the word of God ministers to every aspect of your being. It blesses you and helps you to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you to make it your goal as you look forward to 2017. In fact, don't wait till 2017. Start today. 3 chapters a day. It'll bless you tremendously. I want to remind you, please take time to go on our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Please go on there and subscribe. You'll find some interesting and encouraging articles and blogs that have been shared and other items that will be of spiritual encouragement to you. And let me mention also, I'd like to invite you to seek to get our mobile apps. We do have mobile apps for iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk. That way you can take our app with you and take Urban wherever you might go in the whole wide world. So I hope you'll take time to do that. And then finally, once again, I want to remind and encourage you to go on Facebook and like our Facebook pages. It's not just one, it's 2, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live as well. If you'll do that, we'd really appreciate that then. But thanks again for listening. By whatever means you listen, whether you're listening on the radio, on the internet, by way of Afrika TV, whatever means, we appreciate you tuning in. We're very grateful to have as our guest, as we come to the very end of the year, Attorney Alan Parker. We've had Attorney Alan Parker on a number of times before, but he's back with us. And Brother Alan, how are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. It's a great opportunity to be on your program. Thank you.
I appreciate you being with us once again. And you know, when you've been on with us, Alan, we've talked a number of times about one of the letters that your ministry, the Justice Foundation, produced. We call it the Dear Parent Letter. And I know as a ministry, we've gotten some wonderful fruit out of using this letter and distributing it. And but it deals with a very important law that lots of people in our culture don't know about, and sadly so, because of that, many lives have been lost. Would you tell our listeners as we start, I want you to further introduce yourself, and then tell our listeners about the Dear Parent Letter.
Well, the problem that the Dear Parent Letter addresses is the problem of forced or coerced abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And many people don't know that this exists, but once you legalize abortion, you actually give the opportunity to others to force women to have abortions to solve their problems, not because the woman wants an abortion, but because somebody else doesn't want that baby around. And it actually is a very common but very hidden problem. And there's kind of three major ways that we see it, though there's a new way I just learned of today that we could talk about. But the three major ones are adult parents forcing a minor girl, their daughter, usually their daughter, to have an abortion. Sometimes it's the parents of the boy forcing the girl to have an abortion. So it's an adult parent forcing a girl to have an abortion. And the number two is an adult man forcing an adult woman to abort his child, maybe because he doesn't want to pay child support or take care of that child, or he doesn't want her unavailable to meet his needs. Whatever the reason, the man's trying to force the woman to abort his baby. And the third is human trafficking, prostitution, where the pimp or the trafficker doesn't want the woman to have an abortion, or doesn't want her to have a child because it interferes with his business. Mm-hmm. So those are the three main types that we see, but it can happen in lots of different situations.
Hmm. You know, and, Alan, as we discuss the issue, one of the things I would really I appreciate you bringing this out is that many people don't realize how often abortions happen that actually are very much illegal as it relates to that law, but so many people don't know that law. Would you elaborate on that?
Right. Well, a forced abortion is illegal in every state in the United States, because even under Roe v. Wade, if you just think about it, the rhetoric is it's the woman's choice. The only thing that prevents an abortion from being a battery or an assault on the woman is her own voluntary consent to the abortionist to perform an abortion on her. It's really similar to any medical procedure, but he's invading the most private part of her body with sharp metal instruments in most instances, and that can only be done with her voluntary, fully informed consent. So if she is not consenting right away, you have a battery or an assault, even by the abortionist in every state, because to do that to anyone without their consent is a normal crime. Now, there can also be other crimes like kidnapping, to take someone against their will to an abortion clinic. There was a man in Columbus, Ohio, put a gun in his back pocket, said, "You're going to the abortion clinic. We're going to get it done now." Mm-hmm. He got charged with kidnapping and assault and threats. And then the other crime in about 36 of the 50 states is you're killing a human being. Mm-hmm. Because anyone who kills that child in the womb is guilty of homicide, except for the mother with her voluntary consent and the abortionist that she hires to do the job. So for anyone else to kill the child in the womb, it's murder. For the woman, because of Roe v. Wade, in the eyes of the law, it's legal for the woman to do it, but not for anyone else to do it. Mm. And, of course, in God's eyes, it's not the right thing to do. It's immoral, unjust, and a crime against humanity by the Supreme Court to have allowed this. But even, and just people don't realize, and it's so common for parents to force a minor daughter to have an abortion. That's probably the most common one. And yet it's the easiest one to stop. It really is. Anyone can be empowered to stop that kind of illegal abortion.
Hmm. Well, and you say that's the most common, that it's a parent forcing a teenage daughter to get an abortion.
Yes, and I say that to find exact statistics on this are difficult, but there is much evidence in the literature. There's much sworn testimony from women that it had to them. We represent over 4,500 women hurt by abortion, and we have hundreds and hundreds of sworn affidavits, which is legally admissible in the court of law, from women who say they were forced, pressured, or coerced into having abortions. Mm-hmm. And so it's widespread, but in the normal situation, a parent says, I don't care what you say, I'm taking you tomorrow morning to get this abortion, and you're going to have it.
Hmm.
Well, the girl says, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. And the parents say, if you don't have this, I'm going to kick you out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
So here you've got a scared 16-year-old. Well, that's a criminal act, because you're threatening a criminal act. Just because your daughter's pregnant, you cannot throw her out on the street. That violates the law in every state that you have to care for your child until they reach the age of 18, mm-hmm. or are married at 17, and they're on their own then. But a girl is not fully what we call emancipated when she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
What she does get when she is pregnant under two cases of the U.S. Supreme Court is the right to make her own decision about whether or not she wants to abort the baby or to keep the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a federal court of appeals decision where a girl sued a school counselor for forcing her to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court said that is a violation of her constitutional right, and you can bring a suit against that school counselor for damages.
Mm.
And that was in the Escambia County case. And so government officials can actually coerce girls. For example, some of the girls have run away from home,
mm-hmm.
because their parents are trying to force them to have an abortion, and they're trying to save a human life. And the police catch them, and they say, I'm running away from home. My parents are forcing me to have an abortion. And the police say, you have to do what your parents tell you to do.
Hmm.
Now, normally, that's a good thing, but that's not true in this case. It's just as if the parents were saying, we don't have any food, go steal something from the neighbors, go break into the grocery store and steal food. You can't force someone to do something that's illegal and immoral, and having an abortion against their will is illegal. So that's one of the reasons, in addition to the Dear Parent letter, we're actually now starting to do police training and school counselor training, because they see this an awful lot, because the girls, when they're desperate, but mm-hmm. when I was going to get back in the beginning, most of the time, then the girl gives up. Her will is broken. She goes down. She says, there's nothing I can do about it. My parents are making me. She goes down to the abortion clinic. She signs a consent form,
mm-hmm.
because that's what she's supposed to do. And it says, I consent to this abortion. So it looks legal.
Mm-hmm.
And it might protect the abortionist, but it doesn't protect the young girl, does it? She's the one with a broken life and trauma for decades and decades. And until she receives healing and forgiveness from the Lord, she's going to suffer the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, then. Well, you know, we're coming up on a break now, but as we, on the other side, I'm asking that if you would keep in mind very much so the importance of, I'm going to ask if you'll pray on the other side as we pick up with this topic. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is attorney Alan Parker of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Prepared a table for you. So glad you made it. So nice to see you. In case you didn't notice,
you are welcome here.
Yes, you are. You are welcome here. There's no resistance
in this house.
You are welcome here. There's no reason to send this out. Yes, you are. You are. Oh, 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 oh.
the music of Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me share with you at this time, if you'd like to participate for the Bible quiz question for today, the question is, what are the names of the two women found in the book of Exodus who were midwives who were told by Pharaoh, he commanded them to take the lives of the boys as they were being born, and they refused. They courageously stood up to Pharaoh, and by the grace of the Lord, may very well have saved the life of Moses. What were the two midwives' names? Now, of course, keep in mind, if you have the answer, email us at jparker@afa.net or text us at 662-321-5859. First two responders will be sent one of the prizes we've offered. Again, what are the names of the two women who stood up to Pharaoh and refused to kill the baby boys, even though the Pharaoh commanded them to kill the Hebrew baby boys, as they were being born? Two courageous women. Give me their names. Again, jparker@afa.net if you want to respond by email, or text 662-321-5859. Brother Allen, let me ask you this as we start off this next segment. I'd like to share this story because it was an instance where had a chance to use the Dear Parent letter, and by the grace of the Lord, it ended up helping to save lives. In this case, we got contacted by a young lady from a city far, far away from Mississippi, a very large urban area, and she called us one day, and it was just the grace of God that she contacted us. But she said, she was 17 years old. She said, my parents have scheduled me to get an abortion tomorrow. I want to keep my baby. Can you help me? All we did was we emailed a copy of the letter that you all produced, the Dear Parent letter. We emailed it to her. The next day, we didn't hear from her right away, so out of concern, called. And when we called her, she was actually at the abortion clinic. Her mom had taken her. She was at the clinic. And she had the letter, but she hadn't shown it to her mom. And I encouraged her, please show your mom the letter. Well, later in the day, we did hear back from her. She did show her mom the letter. She showed the clinic workers. Her mom wasn't happy, but the clinic workers knew, we cannot do this abortion. They did do an ultrasound and come to find out this 17-year-old girl was carrying twins. So the Holy Spirit used the letter to save not just one baby, but two babies on that day. And of course, I know there are a number of stories that you have to share of how, by the grace of God, God has used that letter. Though, do you have any that come to mind that really stand out? Instances of how the Lord dramatically used the letter in ways like that?
Yes, I do. I can think of lots of stories. And what also I want to tell your listeners right now is, if they'll listen to the end of this program, basically, they can be empowered to stop and save lives and stop forced abortion just like you did there. Mm-hmm. Because the number one way is to tell the girls, no one can force you to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. Just keep saying no. That is empowering just in itself. And if a girl is forced to go to an abortion clinic, but she'll tell the abortionist, I don't want this, I'll sue you if you do it, that will stop 99.9% of abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And but just knowing that a letter is available on our website, and we have a website where anybody can download this material, and the letter basically just tells parents, you don't have the right to make the decision, and you can be criminally liable if you force someone to have an abortion. And that's true in every state in the country. And that letter stops about 95% of the abortions, just as you described in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty dramatic one, that she actually got to the abortion clinic and used it.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is in their youth group at a high school, they could down that Dear Parent letter, distribute among all their friends in their youth group, and they'll all be empowered to know forced abortion is illegal. And sometimes it's another teenager who hears about it. Oh, Sally's pregnant, and her parents are forcing her to have an abortion. You can say, really? I know, that's illegal. I'm going to get you some information and get it to Sally's parents. We can stop this abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And save Sally from tremendous trauma and save the baby's life. So just this past week, we have one where we distributed the Dear Parent letter to lots and lots of school counselors. And the girl was so afraid of her parents and that she would be forced to have an abortion, because actually her older sister had been forced to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. So this mother had a pattern of doing it. She said, "Mom, I want you to come to school. The counselor has something to say to you." So she didn't tell her mother she was pregnant until she was in front of a counselor. And then the mother started threatening to make her have an abortion. The school counselor went and found our letter on the web, and the school counselor was able to stop it by telling the mother. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say in that case, the school counselor also contacted Child Protective Services, because, like I say, this is a crime. And when your child is being abused, and because this girl was so afraid she was going to run away, and because the mother had forced another child in the family, this counselor notified Child Protective Services, and they came out also and told the mother, "You can't do this." Mm-hmm. And we just before Christmas, we got word from a friend of that girl. I said, "You know, I want to say, how are things going?" And she said, "They're going great. Mom has stopped any pressure. Child Protective Services is helping. She's getting the medicine, and it's we've had the first sonogram, and it's a beautiful baby boy."
Oh, praise God. That's good. That's good.
That was God's Christmas gift to us. We don't get to see a lot of the cases where the letter and the knowledge helps people, but it's nice when you get to know that you've helped save a baby's life.
That's right. That's right. Would you take time now to pray for our listeners in them? Because you just mentioned a very important point that every single person listening could download or get a copy of that letter and distribute it in their own community, to in strategic places. Would you pray for our listeners and for the church to really take a lot more initiative to be aggressive about distributing a tool like this in their communities?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father,
thank you.
Thank you that you love us enough to forgive us, and that you have mercy on us when we sin.
You
sent your Son Jesus to be born on Christmas Day, but to live until adulthood and then die on the cross for us. He died for the sins of abortion that are being committed today, as well as all the sins of the world.
Thank you.
It's not the unforgivable sin, Lord. Thank you. If there's anyone who's listening that's had an abortion, help them to know that you will forgive them if they repent. Confess that they were wrong, that it was a sin, and come to you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior and forgive all their sins.
Thank you
will do so. So we know it's not the unforgivable sin.
But
Lord, it's a terrible sin. It's a grievous injury. It wounds everyone involved in it, and it kills a human. So I pray for the listeners that they will go to our website when it's told a little bit, the Justice Foundation's website, and get under our Center Against Forced Abortion, get this letter and distribute it to people who would need to know it.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, I pledge if there's a woman or a teenager who was forced to have an abortion now, and they want to call us, that we'll help them to find a lawyer to sue in their state, wherever they are. They'd have to find a lawyer, and if they need justice, that we would also help them find justice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again, Brother Allen. One thing I would mention, too, is that I want to share this, and I'd like to get you to comment on this, but I would want to encourage every pastor to make it a goal to download the letter, and I don't think it would hurt to make copies to place in bulletins, because the fact is, when it's widely known, for example, if a church was to say, put it in all their church bulletins, again, I believe very much so, God would use that church to actually save babies, because many people don't realize how widespread the tragedy is of parents forcing teens to get abortions. But of course, we know it doesn't stop there. An instance I'm aware of is a sidewalk counselor told her how that they witnessed a young lady or witnessed a woman pulling her what appeared to be her teenage daughter into an abortion clinic. They called the police. The police arrived, and when they explained to the police what was going on, the policeman's response was, "Well, there's nothing I can do about this." They gave him a copy of the Dear Parent letter. He read the letter, and he immediately went into the clinic to retrieve the woman and the girl because the policeman realized this is against the law. But of course, the policeman did not know the law. And you touched on that. Would you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yes. The first time that I really was in front of a clinic myself, there had been a girl who had been calling us and saying her mom, her parents were divorced, she lived with her mom, was forcing her to have an abortion. And I kept telling her, we can help you, we can help you. In fact, if we hear about it a few days ahead of time, we can actually go to court, and we've been 100% successful in getting a court order to prevent the abortion. Mm-hmm. But she kept saying, I don't want to do that. My mom might get mad at me. I think I can talk her out of it. And I never got permission. So I can't do anything without permission of the client. It's her choice. But I knew where the abortion was. And I went down there to pray. And I said, and I'm going to make up the name to keep her confidential. I said, Sally, is that you? No. Sally, is that you? No. Sally, is that you? The third girl said, yes. And I said, I'm Alan Parker. I'm the lawyer that you've been talking with. Can I help you? Do you want me to do anything for you? And she said, I can't fight my mother. No, she said, I don't want this abortion, but I can't fight my mother anymore. And then her mother came out and said, what are you doing here? And said, ma'am, I'm the lawyer. I'm trying to help your daughter. I represent hundreds of women who've been hurt by abortion. I don't want your daughter or you to be hurt. And she got mad. She said, well, I think you ought to call the police. And I'd been praying, but the thought had never come into my mind. Then I said, well, ma'am, I think you ought to. I think this is a fetal homicide. And she jerked her daughter and went into the abortion clinic. And I called the police. And I said, I'm outside the abortion clinic. The girl just told me, I don't want this abortion, but I can't fight my mother. That's an involuntary abortion. It's not her decision. It's her mother's who's making the decision. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fetal homicide. And they came out. I said, here I am. I'm the witness. And they said, they went inside. And they came back out and said, well, we're going to get Child Protective Services to investigate. There's not going to be any abortion today. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I'd ever called the police. And actually, any of you listening on the audience line today or through our audience, if you see a forced abortion occurring or you hear about one, the Dear Parent letter is kind of the soft way to get it to the parents first. But, like, sometimes you don't have enough time. If you're outside the abortion clinic, you better call the police right away. And I tell the girls, if worse comes to worse and your parent doesn't change your mind after the Dear Parent letter, which the change occurs about 95% of the time or more, I'm being conservative, actually. Mm-hmm. But if nothing else, you'd call 911. But then the problem has been sometimes the police don't know the law either. So I always tell the girls and crisis pregnancy centers, give that letter to the police. And this year, for the first time, the Justice Foundation has been training, and we sent a letter to all the police departments in Texas explaining the law to them. And we're based in Texas, so we decided to start there. And we got a very nice letter of encouragement and thank you for our work from the Texas Attorney General.
Well, we're going to jump in right here want you to pick up right there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Attorney Alan Parker of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. we cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Sometimes we take our own spiritual temperature and come away thinking, I'm doing fine. But Dr. Tony Evans says it often takes more probing and prodding to find out how healthy our faith really is. More on that today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
It's coming up on my annual physical review. And in my annual physical review, I'm going to have to take a stress test, which means the doctor's going to put me on a treadmill with all these attachments on my chest. And he's going to be reading a sheet as I walk to determine the condition of my heart. He's not going to take my word that I think my heart's okay. He's not going to buy it because I feel like my heart's okay. He's going to ask me how I'm doing. How's my heart? I'm going to say my heart's fine. And he's going to say, prove it. Let's put you under some stress. So I'm going to get on the treadmill and I'm going to walk. And that treadmill's going to climb and incline and keep inclining until I'm huffing and puffing, until I can't take it no more, until I throw in the towel. Then he's going to look at his paper and he's going to tell me what my heart is. We may be here this morning and think our spiritual hearts are fine. Do all the things that we're told to do or led to do in song and in ceremony because we think our heart is okay. But God is saying this is a test. And you always know a test because it's adversity. It's never pleasant, never preferred, never requested, yet it is inescapable because God allows it.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting TonyEvans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Attorney Alan Parker, the director of the Justice Foundation, a powerful legal ministry that helps and reaches out to, stands for the cause of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. And they do lots of, quite a few different things as far as the pro-life cause is concerned. I have a question that was shared in the chat room, attorney. Specifically, the question was, how is it legal for a policeman not... Now, I'm going to try to read the question as it was stated. How is it legal for the police not to know the law?
Well, that is a very good question. I guess part of it, there's so much law out there that it's hard for the policeman to know all of it all the times.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's good advice to give a teenager, you must do what your parents tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that is just becoming well-known, and the Justice Foundation is the major group doing it. And I'd like to give your listeners our website, if I could, so that they can get this Dear Parent letter.
Okay, please do.
And that would be www.dot v thejusticefoundation.org, and I'll spell that, the, T-H-E, justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, foundation, foundation.org. So it's thejusticefoundation.org, rather than, which is O-R-G, not .com, because we're a charitable organization. We represent people at no charge. We do all our services for free because we're a charity, publicly supported charity. Christians donate to us. And when you go to the Justice Foundation or you Google Justice Foundation and forced abortion or Alan Parker and forced abortion has come up, then look under the Center Against Forced Abortion. Center Against Forced Abortion, and the Dear Parent letter will be there. There's also a letter for the Dear Father of the Child if an adult male is forcing a woman to have an abortion. And it's in Spanish and English. And people can also call us directly if they need help, if they want to be talked through how to do it, they don't know what to do. We're able to handle a lot of those phone calls from across the nation. And then we can usually, so far by God's grace, we've been able to find a lawyer in every state when we've needed one. Mm-hmm. And part That's of great. That is through our partner organization, an allied organization called the Alliance Defending Freedom. Mm-hmm. And they've trained over 1,000 attorneys to do pro bono work in the area of pro-life. Mm-hmm. And often we can find one of those lawyers if it's necessary to go to court. So
okay.
Our telephone number is, this is a toll-free number, 866, the number 4, outcry. 866, the number 4, outcry. So if you know somebody who's committing a crime or forcing someone else to have an abortion or someone who's being forced to have an abortion, call us and make an outcry. And we can help.
Okay then. Well, thank you again for sharing that. You know, I think of this, for example, my wife Bertie shared an instance where she spoke to a young lady in a phone shop who had had an abortion, and her story was basically this, that the young lady had gotten pregnant by her boyfriend, and she was happy to be pregnant and thought he would be happy. She told him that she was pregnant, and without him saying a word, he took her and threw her against the wall and told her, you will get an abortion. And tragically, she did just what he said. And of course, obviously, in a case like that, she was following, again, maybe out of fear or maybe fearful that the relationship would end. But sadly, again, even though people say, well, it's a woman's choice, well, that's not a woman's choice at all. That's a brute of a man getting what he wants and forcing his girlfriend basically to do that, too. So that's when the letter, the dear client letter you were speaking of, that's when a letter like that could be very appropriately used in a case like that, correct?
Yes, and that goes back to what your questioner in your audience asked about. How can the police not know this? We are now educating the police about the particular crimes. Like when he threw her against the wall, that's an assault.
That's right.
And then when he mm-hmm. threatens her to do that again, that's aggravated assault, and when he's forcing her with coercion to commit the crime of killing another human being, that's solicitation to murder. And mm-hmm. here in Texas, since we've done the training, two great things have happened. Number one, there was a man in Canyon Lake who did things like that. He even used the words, I'm going to kill you if you don't have this abortion. So he got charged with assault and with solicitation to murder because he was trying to get her to murder her own child because it wasn't with her consent. So mm-hmm. he got the book thrown at him, and those are pretty serious crimes. The other good thing that's happened in Texas, and I hope other states would do this, and if you're a pro-lifer, if you're in any one of these states, you can take this Dear Parent letter, give it to the pro-life groups in your state, and they may be able to get their state government to do what Texas just did. Texas just updated its Woman's Right to Know booklet. This is the little pamphlet that every abortionist is required by law to make available to every woman considering an abortion. Mm-hmm. And in it, It now, for the first time, says if you're being forced to have an abortion, talk to people, and then it says call 911. So it says if you're being forced to have an abortion, call 911, which makes our training for the police even more important, because if the girl calls 911 and says, someone's forcing me to have an abortion, they don't need to hear, well, you have to do what your parents tell you. That's not right.
That's right.
So your listener and others could pray. We're actually going to be submitting a requirement next year to Texas that this be required training. We've offered it this year to kind of introduce it and, frankly, to give us an opportunity to teach it a few times and make sure we're doing a good job. But then next year, we think it ought to be required training of every policeman in the state. And this could be duplicated all over the nation. And really, it shouldn't be that controversial, because even people who believe in that voluntary abortions should be legal, that in other words, if a woman wants to have an abortion, she should be able to have it. Even if you believe that, many of those people, including Hillary Clinton, is against forced abortions. She did condemn China for forcing women to have abortions against their will when she was Secretary of State. So even liberal pro-choice activists, most of the time, they're with you. And we've had pro-choice feminist liberal judges stop a forced abortion. So it's not that controversial. And the only reason I have any hesitancy is some people who are so radical pro-abortion don't want there to be any evidence that sometimes it's not good, that some That's abortions right. are forced and coerced. But it's an intellectually honest liberal, and even the feminist literature will report that many women are forced to have an abortions by abusive male violence, domestic violence partners. So they realize it happens too. So it should be something that could be achieved in a lot of states if your listeners are from all over the country here.
That's right. That's right. So if someone who's listening and want to get more information about how to bring this information and maybe even help to take the steps to bring legislation in their state, again, basically they would go to your website then?
Yeah, all of that information is there. The law is all carefully laid out, and our contact data is there. We're happy to help any state doing it that wants to do it. We're hoping to go into the state of Kentucky next year first, because one of the sad cases, we get a lot of happiness from saving lives, but it's very torturing when you're talking to the police, and there was a pregnancy resource center that called us and was outside the clinic saying there's a woman being dragged in, and actually it was even better than that. I mean, or they had more evidence than that. The girl had texted them, my parents are forcing me to have an abortion. I don't want this. So you have solid written evidence that she doesn't want the abortion. And yet the police were contacted, notified. I even spoke to them outside it, and they would not stop the abortion. So it just shows, again, the need for police training on this issue. And even to this day, after years, no one's ever said this is not the law. Once they get the letter, now a policeman on the sidewalk may say, I don't have to listen to this, or this is from Texas or something, but nobody of any authority, or like if there had been more time and I could have called the supervisors, there's usually somebody who says, well, I guess this is right. You've got the case citations, you've got the law, this is it, and we have to follow it. So, but that is why more police training and more awareness. And just anybody on this line, anybody listening to the phone and to the radio program can say, forced abortion is illegal in my state. This is true in every state because only voluntary abortions are legal. And the specific crime may vary a little bit from state. I mean, if you have a gun, then it's assault with a deadly weapon. If somebody just kind of throws her against the wall and says, you're going to get this abortion, that's more physical assault, and it may be a different crime level than if you do it with a gun. Usually it's a more serious crime if you do it with a gun. So the specific crime may vary a little bit, but it's illegal in every state. That's the basic thing to remember. It's illegal. Forced abortion is illegal.
Amen. Amen. Share your website one more time for our listeners.
All right. It's thejusticefoundation.org. It's a little bit funny because you have to spell out the, T-H-E, justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E. The next word is foundation, foundation.org. And we call it that. That's the name the Lord gave us when we got started. But justice and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne.
That's right.
That's in Psalm 87 and 89. God loves justice a lot more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates injustice. And God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And I just, if you give me a little indulgence, I believe without massive repentance for the sin of abortion and the sin of forsaking God and the sin of sexual immorality and the sin of greed, without massive repentance for those national sins that bring national destruction, mm-hmm. we are going to see terrible, great, destructive judgment from the Lord on mm-hmm. America.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to cry out to God, particularly the church, his people, we need to stop supporting abortion, we need to stop being silent about abortion, and we need to cry out to God, repenting and confessing our sin of abortion
Amen.
As a nation.
Amen. Amen. Well, Attorney Alan Parker, I appreciate you being with us today. Again, you've been a great blessing. Of course, always the information that you share is so, so helpful. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope every single listener will take it upon themselves to get more information about this. Again, I think it'll make all the difference in the world. Lord, thank you for Attorney Alan Parker. Thank you for the Justice Foundation and the work they're doing. Lord, anoint that ministry and empower it more and more to be everything you want it to be. And I pray that you'd open many more doors and cause great favor, doors of favor to open up for them to move forward, to carry this message far and wide throughout our nation. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you so much, Attorney Parker Wood. We appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Talk. Urban.